I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Never seen the sky so blue. Birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. Call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Morning. Welcome to the KSL Greenhouse. Finally, it's a sunny day after days and days of rain, or at least it feels like it was days and days of rain. Thank you for joining us this morning. The Greenhouse Show coming to you from J&J Garden Center. The tomato frenzy is underway. Maria Chalaos, Ton Bettis, and Andy Stevenson with you this morning, taking your questions. We're going to start the hour and talk about tomatoes because we want to make sure if you're going to plant tomatoes that you have the best crop, the best year ever. So we want to set you up for success. So, Ton, where do they start? What's the first thing you need to do?
They need to make sure that their soil's ready for tomatoes. And, you know, if you have a garden and rotated, you're probably good to go. But if you're in a brand new area, it doesn't hurt to get a couple of inches of compost and mix that into the rows where you're planting.
And then you've got a wide variety of tomato plants.
We do. We've got all kinds. Like I said earlier, A to Z, but Ton's exactly right. You need to get that garden prepped with some type of a compost or some other amendments. Start with a good foundation, so to say, like building a house. So one of our best ones here, honestly, is that Oakdale, the Oakdale compost. I've used it. I love it. Nutrimulch is another good one. Make sure you, blend it into the existing soil that's already there. And then what we tell people is when you plant your tomatoes, plant them deep. Plant them up that stem. If you look at a stem of a tomato, it's got little fine, almost looks like little white hairs on the side of it. If you'll plant those deep, those all turn into roots. So you get this nice big giant root base, and then it also helps sturdy the plant if there is some type of a wind or anything like that. But
okay, when you say deep, though, they're thinking, hey, I'm getting this little plant. How do I know how deep to plant it?
You know, you can plant those things almost all the way up to the top leaves. I've seen tomatoes actually that, are maybe an overgrown tomato that's a foot, 18 inches tall or something. You can actually lay those tomatoes on their side, cover that whole stem, leaves and all, and then just tip the little top of the tip out, and those things will take off like crazy.
You just scared me. Like, I'm not sure. I want to go for that.
You can do the same thing. I've seen it with peppers and everything, squash, all that kind of stuff. You can plant deep. But plant them deep, and then water them, but don't overwater them. I talked to a guy the other day, he was watering every day. And the other two things you want to ask is you want to make sure that they're ground watering and not overhead sprinkler watering. Overhead sprinkler watering on vegetable crops can cause more disease in them. You can also wash the pollination off the plants and then they don't get a good yield. So it's one of those deals, you water like the farmers did. Under, row water is the best way to do it.
When I do my garden, especially my tomatoes, I'll get inexpensive soaker hose, and I'll build fairly large furrows, and those are the hills, I guess, that, like the old farmers would do, and I'll run soaker hose just snake it right next to the tomato plants. And then what I've done before I plant is I will cover the whole furrow in black plastic and then get it weighed down with more soil. So that entire row is covered with black plastic. I've got my soaker hose in, and then I plant through. I put holes in the plastic and plant through. That way I'm sub-irrigating. The plastic's holding water in the soil, keeping weeds down. And I can put some fertilizer in there, like Osmocote, or there's several others you can use. And that black plastic, when those plants, if you don't have them trellised, as they grow, they are on top of the plastic. It keeps them clean, keeps the pests and diseases out a little bit. And it's just a really good way to do it. You don't have to do that black plastic, because Andy is absolutely right on that sub-irrigation. You want to be irrigating either into a little basin you've made around the tomato, or run sort of some sort of drip or soaker hose.
I want to go back a step. How far apart should they be planting their tomato plants?
About every 2.5 to 3 feet, if they're full size. If you've got indeterminate, so if you've got Romas that are indeterminate, and those are the ones that just grow and grow and grow, and the new tomatoes come off the new growth, you're going to have to put those every 4 feet unless you trellis them. So you can download fact sheets on trellising indeterminate. But like a celebrity tomato or the hybrids that are called determinate, and those will have a big flush of fruit, and then a little bit afterwards where those about every 3 feet.
Okay, Andy, I don't want people to get confused, especially new gardeners. You say they need water, but not too much water. So what does that mean?
You know, the best thing to do is water them, soak that ground really good, saturate it, then let it dry out in between waterings. And that's where we talk about the yellowing. And then you're also, you know, you put that much water, you're going to leach all the nutrients out of the soil. So that's why I say water like the farmers did, kind of that once a week theory until it gets warmer. And then you're going to probably have to go to two a week schedule to keep that ground, you know, to keep those plants healthy. But a tomato will tell you when it's dry, it'll start, it's just like with really any plant, but they'll start to kind of wilt on you, and then water, you know.
Those leaves start to droop a little bit.
They
start
to droop, you know, hang their heads a little low. And the other thing, too, with anything, really with a vegetable garden, plant in an area where it's getting the most sunlight all day long. You know,
that's why I cut down my grove of oak, by the way.
They'll have people that'll plant in the shade, and then
vegetables
love sunlight.
So fertilizer, Ton. I have been confused over fertilizing tomatoes for years, because I have heard if you fertilize the tomatoes, then you get too much greenery and you don't get enough tomatoes. So clarify what we should be doing when it comes to fertilizer.
You don't want to over-fertilize is
the key. But back to what is that?
Yes. So what you're going to do, and I've posted a fact sheet that our vegetable specialist put together.
On the greenhouse
Facebook page. Yes, and it will tell you exactly when you need, but it's really only a couple tablespoons per plant if you're using something like Triple 16. So if you are using Osmocote, it will tell you how much to put down. But you fertilize tomatoes when they're planted, or maybe a week later, and then maybe a month or 6 weeks later, and then you stop. Because if you're fertilizing them when they're producing, you're trying to make flowers and things, the fertilizer induces them to shoot a lot of green growth and sacrifice flowers.
See, that's what I've heard. That's what I was concerned about.
Yes, and so something like a slow release, like Osmocote, will release nitrogen at a slower rate. The tomatoes gets what it needs, but it doesn't get this super fast flush of nitrogen. And so if you're using something like Osmocote or a liquid feed like Miracle-Gro that just gives them a small dose of nitrogen every few weeks, that's going to be a little bit different situation.
Okay. Any other tips?
The other thing, too, you know, if you're using a compost, remember that you're going to get a little bit of a fertilizer charge, whether it's an Oakdale or the Nutrimulch or any other type of compost that's derived from an animal type of feed type stuff. So that's where you don't want to over-fertilize, too, because people will tend to use that, and then they'll go dump a bunch of Triple 16 on their garden, and then all of a sudden what they've done is they've made their garden just really hot, and some of the younger plants can actually burn and die. So you got to just be really careful with it. And like you say, I've heard of people that have over-fertilized, you know, when those tomatoes are growing, and they'll get an 8-foot-tall tomato plant in a cage with all this growth and no fruit. So you've really got to be careful on it.
So, Maria, the actual recommendation from USU is a half teaspoon at 4 weeks and a half teaspoon at 8 weeks of either 2000 or 3016.
Okay.
Very little, just enough to keep them green, because that extra nitrogen, you'll have beautiful tomato plants with no fruit.
Right. We don't want that. Whole idea is to have wonderful tomatoes all season long, or as much of the season as we can.
Yes.
So it is the Tomato Frenzy underway at J&J Garden Center. And Andy, before you take your headphones off, one more second. Tell us what people can find today. People who have been here before know that this is the best time to get the best deal on their tomatoes.
It is. So we run it for 2 weeks. We call it the Tomato Frenzy Sale, and it's all the large size tomatoes. They're kind of in a big square gallon. We compare it to a gallon size, but they're half off. So for now and then through next Saturday, they're $2.49 each.
Okay. And then you've got something for everybody, the traditional favorites.
We do. And the nice thing about right now is we're geared up for full spring. And so you can come in and see all the annual flowers and everything else, and whether you pick them up today, but at least it'll give you some ideas of, you know what, I want that in my yard for summer. So you can kind of see the full range. We've got all our hanging baskets are ready. Our planters are ready. We've got all the components if you want to build your own planters. We've got everything to go into those, the grasses, all the little proven winners, whatever you want. We got the full range. We're ready to go for spring and summer. So,
all right. Tomato Frenzy underway at J&J Garden Center. Taking your calls next, the number to call 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show, coming to you from J&J Garden Center and the Tomato Frenzy. Let's get right back to our phone lines this morning, and Kyler has been very patient in Syracuse. Kyler, how can we help you this morning?
Well, I have a question about a couple of large mature maple trees I have in my front yard. We've tried fertilizing them, but every year they get a little bit yellow on the kind of southeast side of the tree, and we're considering either like a foliar manganese spray or maybe topping them. Are any of those viable options?
Have you had tissue analysis done to know that it's a manganese deficiency?
We have not, no.
Okay. Well, if it's always on the southeast side of the tree, I would more suspect that it's sun-related, sun scald or heat scorched. Those Norway maples, which it didn't say Norway maple on the tag, but Crimson Century is a type of Norway maple, and they're occasionally susceptible to some sun scald. And if it's only happening on the south side, that would be the most likely thing going on, to where they kind of scorch a bit and maybe turn a little bit. You might see just a little bit of, as that scorches, it looks like almost like litmus paper or something a little bit. Now, if you wanted to do something, just make sure and deep water them about every 7 to 10 days. And if there was a deficiency, I mean, someplace like J&J where we're at today will have micronutrient sprays that will probably have not only that, but iron and magnesium and copper and a few other things in there that you could try doing a foliar application once those are leaked out. That wouldn't hurt anything as long as you follow instructions. But I might give them just a light shot of nitrogen and then go ahead. And even if they're in the lawn, maybe back that off every 3 or 4 weeks. But every 3 or 4 weeks, deep soak them so that water penetrates a little bit more deeply.
Okay. Would you recommend against topping the trees at all to help stimulate some growth or anything?
Well, how big are they right now?
They're mature. They're good.
Yeah,
20
never
feet
top
over
a
our
tree.
Right house.
You know, if you needed to prune them, you could prune some of the limbs out. But those maple trees, once you get them established and they're mature, pruning in maples when they're older oftentimes causes, it creates an entry for internal rot. And so you've okay. got to be super careful with that. But you don't also, if you prune, you don't want to paint with tar because you often just seal the infection in. And so if you need to do pruning, I would wait for next year if you can and do that sometime in mid-January to mid-February and do okay. as minimal pruning as you can to bring the size down.
Okay. All right. Great. Appreciate it.
Great. Thanks for your call this morning. Todd, I'm going to try not to make a mess of this. This person would like, they have problems with some of their bushes. So I'm going to start with the first one. They say they may be planted in the wrong place. The first one's a hydrangea, which is north facing with a west slanted sun. That's small, not blooming, and they're wondering if that's just in the wrong place or what could be happening there.
They've got it about as situated as the best they can.
Okay.
If it's trying to leaf out now, it's too late to move it. And east exposure may be a little better because it's getting morning sun.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime those hydrangeas that are native, or not native, but grown in the Pacific Northwest and east of the Mississippi, that it's called big leaf hydrangea, they just struggle here sometimes, or a lot of the time. There's several other species that do fine, but if it's one of these purple, big bald hydrangeas, then it's going to, at least 50% of them seem to struggle.
Okay, so what if they wanted to apply a different kind of hydrangea? What would you recommend?
Oh, man, there's a lot of them out there. One of my favorites are the panicled hydrangea, and there's pink and white forms. But what will happen with panicled hydrangea is it tolerates a lot more sun, it's more adapted to our soil, and it'll blossom in July. And it comes out with white blossoms, and then as those blossoms age, they turn pink. And they will be there until September. And I think it's one of the most underused shrubs out there. And I just see them all over, Utah County for, building managers that know what they're doing a little bit with plant selection. The other one that is a really good one for shade is oak leaf hydrangea. That one will bloom a lot of the same time, and it just tolerates a little bit more shade than the panicled one will. And then one other one would be Annabelle, and there's several other cultivars. The Annabelle hydrangea is one that's a tried-and-true hydrangea for Utah.
Okay, they also have a Wigalia on the west that's west-facing that's slow-growing. Is that in the wrong place?
No, it needs full sun, and
maybe
those
some fertilizer
need to
on
be
that one?
Cleaned up with renewal pruning and just a little bit of tip pruning after they bloom. Otherwise, they have a tendency to kind of fall over a little bit. But with some tip pruning and some renewal pruning, they're beautiful, too.
They say they have a blueberry muffin viburnum that never blooms. Maybe they need a different type.
There may be something else going on besides just the plants not doing well.
Mm.
Pruning issues, watering issues, soil issues. Because if they've got several different species not flowering, it's usually something environmental or something human-caused.
So maybe their soil, maybe they need to do a soil test.
Soil test would work, and then I would take a hard look at when, look up some fact sheets, try to get extension fact sheets on when these are supposed to be bloomed or pruned, maybe even get an American Horticultural Society's Guide to Pruning or another one, and look at some of that stuff, because if you've got so many things struggling, there's usually something else going on.
All right. We need to take a break. The Greenhouse Show coming to you today from J&J Garden Center, where the tomato frenzy is underway. I want to remind you that we did put up a really fun spring planting video that you can find that on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. So if you're putting together your big containers today and you just aren't sure exactly what you want to do, take a look at that video. It can offer you some fun ideas. The number to call with your questions this morning, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
Let's dig around town with KSL Greenhouse.
Dig Around Town is brought to you by Utah State University Extension. Check out monthly gardening tips and online gardening courses at garden.usu.edu. Learn how and when to get a start on your vegetable garden with Virtual Vegetable Gardening 101 on Thursday, April 29th. The latest classes at garden.usu.edu. Also on April 29th, learn how to make your own sprinkler repairs. More info at conservationgardenpark.org. Get set for a great growing season. Learn things you can do early to save you time, effort, and water as the summer progresses on April 21st with Weber Basin Water. Details at WeberBasin.com. And take a stroll on the garden paths of the Ogden Botanical Gardens. It is the perfect place to find peace and tranquility in an urban setting. Now, a look at this week's quick tip.
Iron chlorosis is very common in Utah. It shows up where plant leaves turn light yellow with dark green veins. Now is a great time to treat for it using an iron product containing EDDHA chelated iron. You can purchase iron chelate products from any local garden center or farm store.
You can also find the Dig Around Town calendar and more fun gardening info at kslnewsradio.com/greenhouse.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.